Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your justice and your mercy, for your wisdom and your truthfulness and faithfulness in all that you do to keep your word and uphold promises and care for the people that you have made and the creation that you have made and the church that you have gathered out of the world throughout the ages. You have led us aright. Jesus, our King of Kings, has led us aright. His scepter has ruled over us with great truthfulness and power and justice. His shepherd's staff has led us with comfort and protection and provision. We thank you for your many mercies upon us. We thank you for the justice and the mercy that you use in establishing other authority and using that authority to govern us well. We pray that you would strike our hearts again with this word, that we would be thankful for that authority, willingly submit to it, that we would love the freedom that we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ, freedom to obey your commandments, freedom to walk in the fear of the Lord, freedom to live together in an orderly society, in orderly homes. May our homes be the first place, the primary place for us to learn your good commandments, for us to learn honor for father and mother, to learn honor for the authority that you have rightly and judiciously established. So let your word be a blessing to us to instruct us in this glorious freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Let's turn together in the scriptures to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 18, reading through chapter 4, verse 1. And then we'll turn to the text in Deuteronomy 15. If you're following in the Church Bibles, Colossians 3 is found on page 984. And let's start reading there at verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy 15. This is page 159 in the Church Bibles. And we're looking at verses 12 through 18. But especially take note of verses 15 and 16. As we'll draw some attention to those two verses. Deuteronomy 15, beginning at verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you, he shall serve you 6 years, and in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you let him go free from you, you shall not let him go empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, and out of your winepress. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this today. But if he says to you, I will not go out from you, because he loves you and your household, since he is well off with you, then you shall take an awl and put it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your slave forever. And to your female slave you shall do the same. It shall not seem hard to you when you let him go free from you, for at half the cost of a hired servant he has served you 6 years. So the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. And thus ends the reading of God's Word. We're also turning to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39. This is on page 52 in the back of the Psalter hymnal, the blue Psalter hymnal. Question and answer 104. We'll read that responsively. Question 104. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment?
That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them, as is proper, when they correct and punish me. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us.
And so far, our confession. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a right and proper authority will have both justice and mercy among all the other things that are required of that authority. Authority has justice. That is, authority is to abide by the prescribed rules, whatever those rules are, and that those rules are to be upheld by the one who is in authority. That's the expectation, both of the authority as well as those who are under that authority. So to use a rather banal example, if you will, nobody would be happy or satisfied, there would be all kinds of uproar and everything, if a referee in a National Football League game started calling rules and plays according to the Canadian Football League, because the rules are different. People would be scratching their heads at first, and then there would probably be some revolting going on. We expect those in authority to uphold the rules, and we are expected, as those who are under that authority, also to abide by those rules. But we also want in authority mercy. There needs to be a recognition that we live in a fallen, sinful world, and we are fallen and sinful people. And the people who are in positions of authority are also fallen and sinful. The curse, because of Adam and Eve's fall into sin, has affected everything. And so even good order, there's going to be disagreements and frustrations and rebellion. And both parents and children are going to sin within the home. Both spectators at a sporting event and the referees are going to sin. There are going to be mistakes that are made. There are going to be weaknesses. Government isn't going to be perfect, and citizens aren't going to respond perfectly to government. Even within the church, elders are men appointed by God, ordained rightly to serve in the name of Jesus Christ. So are deacons, but they are imperfect. They are sinful men. And we as a church, we are all sinners. So we're not going to respond to our office bearers in a perfect way either. So, you need to have justice and a right rule, but on the other hand, you also have to have mercy and an understanding of love and patience, charity. We need both of these things in authority. We want both of these in authority. But that means we also must do both of these when we have authority. So, whether you are a father or a mother here, whether you are an elder or a deacon, whether you are a teacher, administrator, whether you are the boss or a manager at some level of the chain in the place where you work, there's all kinds of different positions of authority. So if you have such a position, you should be working for justice and mercy in that position as well. Deuteronomy 15, verses 12 through 18 show both of these things in authority. There is justice according to God's law. The brother, the Hebrew brother, who takes this other Hebrew brother or a Hebrew sister as a servant, in the translation there should be sold himself or herself to you. This is an issue where there is a debt that needs to be repaid, which can't be repaid, and so the brother or the sister comes to the one to whom they owe the debt and says, "Can I work this off? I will work as a servant in your household for the next 6 years." And they make arrangements, and yes, so and such and such, and the arrangements are made, and that's what happens here. Now, the master in this situation has to abide by God's law, because God is his master. That's why we abide by authority, boys and girls. That's why you are called to obey your father and your mother and to honor them, because God has chosen to rule you through them. This is authority that God himself has established. So when we listen to this authority, we're actually obeying God. But as we read in Colossians 4, verse 1, every master ultimately has one master. And that's the Lord God himself. So this master in this situation has to abide by the law of God. That requires him to release this person after 6 years. It also requires him to love this person, to abide by the entirety of God's law. Love your neighbor as yourself does not go out the window as soon as you have a master-servant relationship. That love for neighbor is still required. But the servant also has requirements, has to serve diligently and so forth, and we're going to look at some of those things. But we also see mercy in Deuteronomy chapter 15, because after 6 years, the servitude can be abated. There's opportunity for it to end according to God's law. God shows mercy in this law as well. There's servitude for 6 years, but then there's an opportunity for that to end. Now, in our case, Jesus is both master and servant in this text. He does justice, but he also shows mercy. Jesus upholds the law of God as his master, as his Lord, as his Father perfectly, but he's also the one who comes in and he is pierced, and not with the awl against the door, but the nails of the cross, because of our dishonor of authority, because of our rebellion, because of our desire to want to make the rules for our own lives, our desire to rule over ourselves as our own authority. Jesus died for that as well. And so we have in Jesus Christ truly a freedom from slavery, and he has made us then willing servants. But without Christ, without God's saving grace, all authority looks authoritarian. It looks like something we don't want to do. It looks like slavery that we want to get free from. So you know how people talk. How people talk about their bosses at work. How hard it is. How people talk about rules that they have to follow, whether it's in society or whether it's at work. Or boys and girls, sometimes when you have to obey the rules at school and you're not obeying and it gets pressed on you and you don't like it, we don't naturally, joyfully, thankfully submit to authority. That's not in our hearts to do. We really just want to rule ourselves. We want to be the ones who make the rules. We don't mind opposing or imposing rules on other people sometimes as well, but we certainly don't naturally submit or honor the authority that is placed over us. We need to be set free from this thinking that obeying authority or honoring authority is just obeisance and slavery and duty. Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to obey? Those kinds of thoughts that we have. We sin against this commandment when we do not properly honor the authority that is over them. And sometimes we don't honor because we're just being disrespectful. I don't like this person who's in authority over me. I don't want to do what this person's telling me to do. I don't think that this person is worthy that I should listen. Or maybe it's not a person, maybe it's a group. So you might feel that way about your mother and father sometimes, boys and girls. I don't want to listen to you. Or you feel that way about your teacher at school. Or we sometimes feel that way about government. We don't want to do what they're asking us to do and what they're requiring. So we're being disrespectful. We don't think they're worthy to be honored. Or maybe it's goes further than disrespect, and it starts to become contempt. Who are you to tell me what to do? I don't have to listen to you. Sometimes we do that in defiance simply by saying no. We've all done that as children. Clean up the dishes. No. Help me with this. No. Rather than, yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. We don't naturally go along with what authority tells us to do. Sometimes we view our role to authority as just servitude or duty, and then we easily pick out their weaknesses. And the more that you look at your boss or your teacher as someone that you just, I have to just deal with this and obey, I don't want to, but I just got to deal with it, eventually you're going to be led by your own sinful heart to start picking out their weaknesses. And that's really not that hard to do, because everybody who's in authority has weaknesses. You can say, well, I don't like my boss, he's grumpy, I don't want to have to do what he asks me to do because he's just always grumpy, or he's irritable, he's got an anger problem. Boys and girls, you don't obey Mom and Dad because they're not consistent all the time, or sometimes they forget the things that they promised to do with you. Well, now I don't want to listen to them. They have all of these weaknesses. Wives don't always easily submit to husbands for the same reasons, because your husband has weaknesses. He sins against you. Husbands sin against wives all the time. Does that mean, therefore, now you don't need to obey? What do we do with corrupt government, for example? 1 Peter 2:18 tells us, and really in relation to all of these authorities, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Even to the unjust. And remember that Peter is writing that in the times of Rome, where you didn't get to vote. You couldn't appeal to a representative in the Senate unless you were a Roman citizen, and most people weren't. You didn't get that kind of representation that we have. You didn't have different levels of government like we have here. It was even harder for them to submit to a corrupt government, or to a government that made decisions that they didn't agree with. So for any of us under authority, we can look at the person in authority and we can see pride or irresponsibility or shameful behavior, or maybe the person in authority over you is not a believer. Are those excuses for us to say, I don't really want to obey, I don't want to listen, I don't need to. I don't see them as being legitimate. And see, and really what's ultimately going on in our hearts there is we're saying, I could do this better. I would do a better job. Well, if you really think you'd do a better job, then sign up for it. Apply. Run for office. Or whatever. Get yourself in a position then when you can start making the policies, if that's really what you think it is about. We sin in this way when we are unfaithful to those who are in authority over us. Boys and girls, you sin against your parents when you waste the things that they provide. Like when you don't eat all of your food, or when you break the things that they have given to you, or don't take care of the things that they've given to you. We sin against teachers when we don't try to learn, or we don't pay attention to them. We sin against the elders in the church when we don't follow their instructions. We sin against our employers when we are lazy, or when we are late, or when we are not fully engaged in the work that we are paid to do with the gifts and talents that we talked about on our resume, we talked about in our interview. We made a great impression there. Look at all of the things that I'm capable of. And then we get to Monday morning and we're like, nah, I just don't want to. You're being unfaithful to your employer. That's not what you promised to do. You promised to work hard. We sin against this commandment when we just flat out disobey. Again, I need you to do this. No, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Or when we grumble and we complain, maybe about the rules, or we grumble and complain about the things that we are being asked to do. Or when we argue, again, we want to be the ones in charge. COVID-19 has definitely challenged all of us in this way. Some of the restrictions that we had to deal with were rather onerous, and some of them not so much. And certainly there have been things that have been very, very difficult and have had some serious implications, but there are other things that haven't been such a big deal. But our natural instinct right away is to cry, "But my freedoms." And sometimes that is absolutely very, very true. But other times it's not. It's not so clean cut. One great example of this, I think, is masks. If a business requires you to wear a mask to go in, you comply. Why? Because that's their business, and that's what they're requiring. They have authority in that place because they own it. They run it. They want you to wear one. So wear one. I know you don't like it. I don't either. It fogs up my glasses. I can't see, especially when it's cold. It takes me 3 minutes to figure out where I am. I don't like it. But that's what they're asking. We abide by no shirt, no shoes, no service. It's really the same thing. But see, what happens is you find out, and you can observe this, and I see it in my own life, we like government rules, we like business rules when we like them. We like them when we like the things, when we agree with them, when we are like, yes, I can totally abide by that. Love it. Great rule, great policy. But when we don't, then we don't. I don't want to do that. This is an infringement. I feel I'm being pushed, pressed, whatever the thing might be. We ought to be a whole lot more discerning than that. Isn't that what Romans 13 told us to do? To be discerning. Isn't that what Romans 12 is telling us to do? To be discerning. To be wise. We shouldn't fear government authority if we are seeking to do what is good, what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord is for us to obey the authority that God has placed over us. Now, we can also sin against authority and break this commandment when we mock that authority. Social media has provided a very powerful way to do this. And like everything else, social media, you don't even need any courage to do it. It's entirely cowardly. If you want to lambast anybody in authority, you can go on Facebook and Twitter, and you can just go ahead and do that. And there are no consequences for doing so, except in the sight of God. So whether it is the decisions that the school board has made, or whether it's the decisions that the elders have made, or it's the decisions that the government has made, or it's decisions that your parents have made, boys and girls, and you get on your phone and you're texting your friends and Snapchatting your friends and going on social media, and what do? We just rail against the government. These people don't know what they're doing. They're stupid. They don't live where we live. They don't understand anything. I don't think they have anything in between their ears whatsoever. Clearly they don't see this rightly, but we do. I do. And so here it is. Here's my tirade out on social media making fun of these people because I'm smarter than they are. That's a violation of this commandment also. God has placed them there. Our catechism summarizes for us. God chooses to rule us through them. And if you have objections to these kinds of things, then there are processes and there's a right way to go about that. There are channels to go through to address those concerns. Social media isn't one of them. We don't like mob justice on the other side of things. We saw plenty of that this last year, 2020. Lots of mob justice. People's careers, sometimes people's lives were put at stake because of what was said on social media, and it gets spread out and blown up out of proportion. Let's not be part of that. Justice requires a proper process in going through the channels. Do the work if you've got a serious objection and bring it through those proper channels. That would be to honor authority. Well, we need to be saved from this because we've all broken these things. We're all guilty before the fifth commandment, just like we're guilty in front of the other nine. How can we possibly be saved from this? Well, Jesus saves us, but He saves us in two very important ways from this commandment, boys and girls. First of all, by honoring the authority that was placed over Him. He perfectly submitted to His Father in heaven. Philippians 2 tells us that He obeyed to the point of death, even to the point of death on a cross. He obeyed His Father in heaven. I came to do Your will, John 17, He prayed, and He did. He fulfilled the will of God, not only in our place, but also the duties and the roles of mediator Jesus fulfilled. He kept God's will perfectly. He also obeyed His earthly mother and father perfectly. And we've talked about that several times and how important that was. Even go all the way to John 19. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And Mary is there with John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And He sends Mary into John's household and commissions John to take care of her because he's the oldest. And it's his duty to make sure that his mother is well provided for. His father, very most likely, is dead. It's Jesus' responsibility, but he's about to die. He's going to be in the grave for 3 days. He's going to rise, and then he's going to go and ascend into heaven. His mother needs to be cared for. So he says to his mother Mary, "This is your son, John the disciple." And he says to John the disciple, "This is your mother," meaning Mary, to take care of her. When Jesus sits in the temple at 12 years old and he's asking all these wise questions. He's asking wise questions, but he's doing it honoring the authority that's there. Shouldn't Jesus, who is the Word in the flesh, shouldn't he be the teacher at 12 years old? No, he shouldn't. Do you know why? Because that's not honoring the authority that's placed over him. Those men were there to teach in the synagogue. Jesus wasn't commissioned to do that. The reason why he doesn't begin his ministry until 30 is because that was the rule. That was the rule. Jesus abided by those rules. His righteousness now becomes ours by faith. But also, of course, his death on the cross. He dies the death penalty. You know what the penalty was in the Old Testament? For disobeying and dishonoring and being irreverent towards your parents, being a rebellious child without repentance? Death penalty. And that's what Jesus died for us. And he died under that penalty in submission also to the ruling authorities. "Don't you know," said Pilate, "I have authority to let you go." Jesus said, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. This is God's will." And he submitted to that for our salvation. And so in Christ we have been freed then from that slavery of thinking that living under authority and submission is just a terrible thing. We've been freed from that, free to honor those who are in authority. I said we want to highlight verses 15 and 16 of Deuteronomy 15. "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you." That's the grounding. That's the grounding for this master to show mercy, because you've been shown mercy. You've been redeemed. And you were redeemed, purchased, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for freedom. And so therefore, don't begrudge this situation, but understand with love towards your brother or your sister, they must also have freedom. And so verse 16, "But if he says to you, 'I will not go out from you,' because he loves you and your household, since he is well off with you, then you shall take an awl and put it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your slave forever." Can you imagine that'd be a terribly painful experience? But the point was to be permanently marked as a servant of this particular household because this master has treated me well. This is a fair-minded master. This is a just and a merciful master. And I have had it so well these last 6 years. I give myself into your service for the rest of my life. What a wonderful picture of the Christian life. That in Christ, our ear has been put to the wall, as it were, and the awl has been put through, and we have been permanently marked by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ as servants of the household of God, because we have it so well with Him, so well with our Lord, so well with our God. He is so lovable, so glorious, so worthy of all of our service. He even gave His Son for our salvation. Imagine the life we have. But we don't need to imagine it, do we? We have it. We have it. We have this Master, our Lord and God. And He loves us and He treats us so well. He has placed authority over us for our good. So let us love those who are in authority over us. That doesn't mean that everyone in authority is lovable. But we should love them because that is the position that God has placed them in. And we should love them for the sake of their service. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, esteem those over you very highly in love because of their work. So whether that's your father and your mother, boys and girls, whether that's a teacher, whether that's the elders in the church, whether that's your boss at work, whether that's a coach, whether that's someone in government, whether that's a police officer, you honor that person in authority. Even if it's a referee at a basketball game who's making bad calls, you honor the person in authority for their work's sake. And you recognize God has placed this person in this position at this particular time in authority over me for my good. And so let us honor with respect and submission. Respect requires that we understand the rules that they have to uphold and that we understand what their work is. Boys and girls, how can you ever respect your mom and dad if you don't understand what it is that they're required to do in God's Word and that you understand what they do for you? I think a lot of times the conflict that happens between parents and children is that second thing. There's a grave misunderstanding of what parents are doing for their kids and how the kids perceive what is being done. And children, you need to submit to it. You need to trust that your parents are doing those things for your good. So whether it's a bedtime that you don't agree with, or it's chores that you don't like, or it's routine within the home, maybe it's what's made for dinner, understand your parents love you. And they are doing these things because they believe with all their heart and with all their discussions and through prayer, this is good for you. And if it's not breaking the Word of God in some way, because that's always the parameter in the Lord, if they're not breaking God's Word, respect them. Respect the fact that you don't understand everything that they're required to do as parents. It's a heavy responsibility. They got a lot of things to think through. They have a lot of things that they need to decide. They've got your lives that they need to watch over. It's a tough job. Understand that. Respect that. And it's the same with all authority. That's what we need to understand. We need to understand what's required of them that we might respect them. And submission is, on the negative side, putting away desire to rule over those in authority over us. But it's positively for us to come under that authority willingly. And to say, I will abide by what this authority gives by way of instruction. I will recognize that God has put this authority over me for my good. So Leviticus 19, verse 3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Again, the home being the first place where we learn this. And I really love Leviticus 19, 3 because it puts the mother before the father. And it does that not to upend everything in authority in the rest of the Bible. I think it does that importantly for a very pastoral reason. Recognizing that who gets the brunt of most of the disobedience from the children? It's the mother. The one who's doing the nurturing. So it isn't just your father, boys and girls, that you need to respect, but your mother as well. Honor both of them. Honor them equally. Respect them equally at all stages of your life. We need to be faithful. We are free to be faithful to the authority that is over us. Do what's required of you and do it diligently without grumbling or complaining. Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling or complaining. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So let us obey according to the Word of God. We never obey against it. Okay, so if there's someone in authority who's telling you to do something that disagrees with God's Word, you don't obey that. You notify them You give them your reasons. If your boss says, I need you to work on Sunday, you say, I won't, I can't. And you say it respectfully. Here's why. Because God requires me to be in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath. I can't work. I won't work. And you receive the consequences, whatever they may be, for that kind of decision. But you don't just not show up. You need to communicate it. You need to be diligent about it. You need to be faithful according to God's word. Colossians 3, 22 and 23, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So show up to work on time. Don't be lazy while you're there. Don't be distracted by your phone and email and other things that are going on. Don't do personal stuff while you're supposed to be working. Respect your employer. When your teacher is teaching you, look at your teacher. Pay attention. Listen. Show that you're actively engaged in what is being taught to you. When the government makes rules, we can appeal to them. Follow the word of God. Follow wisdom's ways. Be discerning, but communicate. Don't do things as people pleasers just to get accolades or to impress people, but do it with sincerity of heart, Colossians 3 says. Let's also be patient with their weaknesses. We are free to be patient with the weaknesses of those who are in authority over us. And again, we can point all of those out rather easily. But those weaknesses and even their sins, it doesn't mean that they lose their authority. Parents, you understand that as well, I hope. That you can apologize to your children when you sin against them because you do sin against them. And you can apologize to them without losing your authority. Elders and ministers can apologize to people for their sins against them without losing their authority. But there needs to be that patience with their weaknesses. So you don't always like the decisions that are made in different areas of life. You wanted some more sensitivity to one issue or another and it's not there. Bear with, be patient with those weaknesses of those in authority. Proverbs 23:22, do not despise your mother when she is old. And for those who are in authority, freely obey the Lord, basically by loving those who are under your authority. And that love looks like being faithful to your duties and to them, setting a good example for them, caring for their well-being, being patient with them as well. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith. And 2 Corinthians 12, 14, the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. There's very good instruction there for parenting and in the home. God doesn't give us kids so that we get. God gives our kids, us as parents, so that we can give for their well-being. The parents ought to give for the children, to build them up in the fear of the Lord, to teach them this God-honoring authority and what it looks like, but also to teach them what it means to honor authority in a God-glorifying way, so that when they go out into society, there's an orderliness. Our children are not just the future of this nation. They are not just the future of the church. They are the present of this nation, and they are the present of the church, because they are living people before God in these positions right now. So as parents, elders in the church, minister in the church, teachers, we're giving ourselves for the children so that they may grow up in the fear of the Lord right now and also then for the future. Colossians 4 verse 1, masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. To summarize this, we might simply ask, isn't the Lord so glorious before us that we would gladly and joyfully submit before Him as well as all the authority that He has placed over us for our good? Would we not gladly be pierced with the all of His grace, marked by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and set apart to serve our God? Because, brothers and sisters, when we obey those in authority over us, when we honor them, we are really honoring and obeying the Lord who put them there. Do all your work heartily as unto the Lord. Live in submission and in honor of authority as unto the Lord. Jesus Christ has set us free from this idea of submission being slavery. He has saved us from this. He broke the bonds apart, the bonds of death, the bonds of our sin. He destroyed these things to set us free. So now we have this life. It's given to us to honor God, to obey God, by honoring and obeying the authority that He's placed there for our good. Amen. Let's turn in the Blue Psalter hymnal to number 328. My God, how wonderful Thou art. In all things we do, we bring forth praise to our God. Let's stand together to sing the first four stanzas of number 328.